The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to UAB Director's Chair, the athletic director of your UAB Blazers. He is Mark Ingram. He joins us every single week. A show you can hear 5 days a week here on the TKR app. And, of course, all now on Audacity. We are all over the place. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, you can hear us live wherever you go. You can certainly hear this show. We have thousands of listeners / viewers every single week. Mark, how you doing, brother? Everything good?
All good, man. I'm excellent. Thank you.
How are you? How was the bye week? The week you'd head off there. That's going to be kind of a little nice there, huh?
Yeah, it was good, and it was good timing. You know, played four games. It's, you know, 1/3 the way through the season. We're going to have another one here in about a month. So I think our bye weeks are well timed, which is nice. You know, it's funny. I told my neighbor and I were talking about bye weeks, I guess, the other day. And I said, what people don't appreciate is, like, if I just walked up to you and I just punched you as hard as I could in the arm, that would hurt, yeah, right?
Sure.
It would hurt anybody, hurt me, hurt you, you know, and that would be abnormal. But in a football game, In any given play, particularly if you play on either side of the line or a linebacker or a running back, these guys are being punched in the arm, sort of that equivalent, constantly.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where they become desensitized to it and they don't really feel it. Yeah. Okay. Because it's just becomes normal. Okay. But they're still people, so they still bruise, and they still later after the game when the adrenaline rush is moved on, they hurt.
Yeah.
And so the ability to sort of kind of get back to neutral with your body is good. And, you know, being tackled and landing on the ground and all that kind of stuff and being hit, your neck going one way, that's all stuff that, you know, you'd like to feel better. So anyway, the ability to sort of recover is nice, and of course prepare for your upcoming opponent for an extra week is also beneficial. So that's good.
Yep. Kitna having a great year. Of course, he ranks 5th right now in passing yards per ball game. I think it's like 314. He's thrown for over 300 yards almost every game. It's really interesting too. You know, we are looking at the Navy numbers, because obviously Navy runs this triple option. Now you're going to another armed forces in the Army who kind of do the same thing. And obviously we know how hard that is. What do you think that we have learned? What could we have learned from one trip? Yeah, let me ask you this. Are there different types of triple option? Like, is a triple option, or how does it play out?
I mean, in some ways, yes, but it's the hard thing about the triple is preparing for it. Meaning, if you want to run it properly in practice, that means you've got to have people like crawling on the ground and diving at your legs and this kind of thing. That's what the academies have historically done to make that work. They're just trying, they don't have to like stop the opponent. They just got to slow them down long enough to create a seam and a gap. And so if I can, you know, just bear crawl, and people go, what are you talking about? Well, sometimes their guards will like bear crawl towards just out in a direction and just be like a log laying on the ground that you got to, you know, kind of stumble over or whatever. Well, preparing for that in practice is a great way to get people hurt.
Yeah.
It's a great way to get your starting defensive tackle, hurt his ankle or his knee or something, and then not play at all. So doing it in a way, and so at the same time, you're trying to do it fast enough that it simulates real game, right? So how do you simulate real game without getting anybody hurt? So that's part of what's difficult. And then so few people run it, it's just not the normal, typical stuff. What they are all excellent at is sort of lulling you to sleep with this triple option to the right, triple option to the left, to the right, to the right, to the right, to the left, you know, whatever, up the middle, you know, hand it off. They fake this dive, they run down and they pitch or they keep. And, you know, so you work on that because that's the, you know, that's like 75% of what they're going to do. Yeah. But the other 25% is they're going to fake that dive. Then the quarterback's going to run towards the end, and instead of turning up field or pitching it, he's actually going to take a 3-step drop at that point from behind the tackle and throw it to the tight end, who is so wide open he could run to Tupelo and back. And you're like, how did that guy get open? Well, it's because the safety and the corners are trying to provide help to come up and make a stop at the line of scrimmage. And you get used to doing that. And then that tight end who comes out to block you doesn't block you. He slips over here, or he intentionally lets you kind of beat him on what you think the linebacker thinks is beating him on a block. And now he's just running free to out into open space. And so these big plays like that, they're great at deception. They're great at ball fakes. They're usually incredibly disciplined, meaning they're not going to false start hardly ever. They're not going to jump off sides hardly ever. And so you just got to be like really strict in the way you play.
You would think that it would be difficult to run only that you're the ball's moving around a lot. And you talk about the misdirection, stuff like that. And you would think obviously that would lend itself to more fumbles, and it doesn't. Yeah. Teams that run it well. When you see a team that runs the triple option, it's very exciting to watch because there's three different ways you can go with the football, obviously with the quarterback. When you see that, do you go out and look for guys who have run the triple option before? Is it something that you can instill in these guys and how to run it now, and why don't more teams play it? Because when it works, it looks fantastic. When it doesn't, it looks horrible.
Right. But you've got, you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to find a person on our team who maybe played quarterback in high school. They might be a receiver for us, but maybe they ran some wildcat stuff for their high school team. Or maybe their high school did run, maybe not the exact same triple option, but some sort of RPO style offense to where you can get them to play quarterback and pretend to be, in this case, the Army quarterback, and try to help the defense understand what that looks like, you know. That's what you try to do. And sometimes you got guys on the team who are really good at that, and sometimes you don't.
What did we talked a little bit before we started. UAB was right there nip and tuck with Navy halfway through that ball game, and obviously it's a game of inches. What did you see in that game that you would like to see UAB defensively do better in this game to stop Army?
Well, quite frankly, if we could play the way we played the first half at Navy, we would not just beat Army, but a lot of people.
Yeah,
I thought we played. It's hard for me to get overly excited about a loss, but you know, we had the ball. When I say we'd stop Navy, we had forced Navy to kick a field goal. It was 21-21, and we forced Navy to kick a field goal with about 5.5 minutes to play, and that's as good as a stop in an offense like ours, because if you can go score a touchdown, you've taken the lead, right? So the perfect thing there would have been, could we take that 5.5 minutes and use every bit of that 5.5 minutes and score a touchdown, right? That would have been perfect. Well, we got half of that. We used all that time and we kicked a field goal to tie.
Yeah.
So that was an opportunity that we missed on the offensive side. That's not the defense. That's, it was an offensive, you know, kind of toe stumping. And then we got the ball to start the second half. So again, even though we tied, that's good. Had we taken the lead and gone up 4 at half and then come out and scored another touchdown and been up 11.
Yeah.
Now you've positioned Navy in a place that they don't want to be. They don't want to play catch up football. They want to be ahead by 4. And then they're going to take 35 seconds off the clock, you know, every single snap. Yeah. And they just start wearing you down and that you don't get the ball back. Anyway, we got the ball to start the second half. We drove down, and instead of scoring a touchdown, we kick a field goal, which we missed. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, man, there was the opportunity. We blew it. But we forced them to punt, and that was Navy's first punt. Look, it was the middle of the third quarter. That was Navy's first punt of the season.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, so yep. UAB forces, and this is quarter number 7 for Navy, and they punt the ball. So it's almost like, hey, we're right back, almost like the exact same place where we were to start the second half. There's no harm here. Great, let's go score that touchdown. We get a first down, and then we throw a successful pass completion for 6 or 8 yards. And we fumble.
Yep.
They make a great play and they punt it out. So now they get the ball on our 25. they score a touchdown. And that was kind of where the wheels fell off for us. Navy made some strong adjustments, but I think they only scored one more touchdown. So we didn't play poorly against Navy in that loss. Frankly, I thought we played – Navy's really good. I thought we played better than most people might have expected.
Yeah.
And their skill players are the best that they've had in a long time, including their quarterback. And, again, so if we could play like that against Army, I feel really good about our opportunity.
The UAB director chair, we do it every single week. And, of course, Mark Ingram is the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. UAB Blazers, UABSports.com, UABSports.com. The games come up at the Protective Stadium going on this Saturday, 11 o'clock. Finally, the weather's cooled off. I mean, it's finally it's going to be the first Saturday where it actually feels like college football. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. 11 o'clock kick. I'll take that all day long with this kind of weather. So it's going to be really, really good. Very interesting enough, though, that our government is shut down and you're playing one of the armed forces. How does that play into what you can expect from Army? Who are they all bringing?
Well, we weren't sure initially if they'd be able to play or not. As we were sort of watching it, we didn't know what would be allowed and what would not be allowed. But they like Navy and now Air Force have created athletic foundations to where the athletic department runs itself in what's called an athletic association, not an athletic department. And what that means is that the athletic department is like a separate entity from the university. And so they are not shut down. Yeah. So anyway, football team is coming. Their whole staff is coming as usual. It's my understanding they are bringing their cheer team. So that's good. They were bringing their band. Now here's what's different. Or, you know, unique, just like here, the band is, even though we help fund parts of the band, the band does not report to our athletic department. And that is true there as well. So their band was coming and their band is not big, but, you know, 50 or 70 people, they were coming. They are now not able to come. So that's unfortunate. They were bringing some students, which would have been, you know, see those kids in their uniforms brings a lot of pride to all of us, I think. And so I don't think they're coming now. And we're still uncertain about a flyover. We have planned for months and months and months to have a flyover for this game. But again, the military members of the military who are the pilots, you know, will either be permitted or not permitted based on this shutdown. So we're kind of anticipating knowing by about noon tomorrow, Friday, as to whether or not they can do that on.
I think it's actually part of one of those. I think that was the 127th Air Refuelers out of Birmingham. I think that they did that giant flyover with that big air refueler. They do a couple of stuff. It's very exciting.
Yeah, we've had different groups from various bases from around the area and around the state do it, which is fun, I think. So I'm hoping that it works out. I know that any game that I'm ever at is a ton of fun when, you know, when you see a flyover. I mean, there's just something that's indescribable about just that roaring sound coming over the stadium.
That's awesome.
You know, again, just creates a lot of pride. It is our salute to service day. We do have a lot of service members coming. So we're really excited about that. We do that every year and really proud to be a part of it.
So what is this College Sports Commission starting this anonymous reporting tip line, the snitch line? Have you heard about this thing? They're calling it the snitch line. College Sports Commission was established this summer to enforce new rules of the House versus NCAA settlement. Some of those rules include ensuring no school goes over the new revenue sharing cap, blah, 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 blah. But now evidently there's some type of phone line or something where you can actually call and snitch on somebody. Can you tell me more about that, please?
I mean, look, man, I'm just I'm kind of in a dark place on this topic. I just don't there's not a rule that we as a governing body and a group of institutions, there's not a rule that we have ever implemented that somebody somewhere didn't immediately try to figure out a way around it.
Sure.
How can we abide by the rule but find some space in this gray area over here that rule didn't think about or consider? And, you know, we put this concept in place with, it's called NIL Go, where you're supposed to report legitimate NIL deals to Deloitte, who is not with the NCAA. They're hired by the NCAA and they are going to,
they're an accounting firm, correct?
They are, and they are hired to look at Tony Curry's true name, image, and likeness value.
And they have shot some down already. They have shot several down. Yeah,
a lot. But they're receiving these proposals, you know, probably by the hundreds every day. So it's a lot more work than just like a couple to review a day. The mistake that we immediately made was somebody, you know, gets to the NCAA and says, you know, these collectives that we've all formed, they need to be considered third-party businesses like any other business or restaurant to do NIL deals. And we actually allowed that to happen.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Listen, collectives are not businesses. They are entities. They are LLCs that we set up to figure out a way to pay players to do next to nothing and then pay them, like, because they did a tweet about the collective, you know, please give to the collective, support so-and-so collective. And we had a collective and still do have the collective, Magic City Impact. But they don't have a business function otherwise. And so by allowing them to continue to pay is a complete reversal of all the work that's been done to create the revenue sharing model to pay them through revenue sharing from the departments and try to eliminate these bogus, obscene payments. But as soon as we allow the collectives to do it, guess what they're doing? And now the truth is, Tony, if the collective chose to pay a player, Deloitte's not going to know. How's Deloitte going to know?
Yeah,
I guess the kid has to file a tax return at some point, but they're not paying any attention to that.
So if someone did want to have the snitch line, and you call this line, then whose job is it to enforce that? Then the NCAA, that's the NCAA.
Yeah, now you've got the NCAA enforcement folks and I guess depending on the topic, Deloitte, to figure out the enforcement, you know, everyone's intentions, I think, are good. Nobody has poor intentions. It's just all this stuff is more complicated than we'd like it to be. There's, like I said, as soon as we make a rule, somebody's trying to circumvent the rule. So you're trying to anticipate all the ways when you make the rule, what are all the ways someone might try to skirt this rule?
Yeah.
And but we're a bunch of smart, creative people in athletics, believe it or not. You know, we've all got college degrees and everything. And you got teams of people who work in recruiting who are all the time trying to think of some new activity that, you know, it's not permissible to do this. But what if we did it like this? There's nothing in the rule that says you can't do
it. Every sport does it. You know, and you do it until you get caught.
Every coach, every school. It's not unique to any one conference or group of schools. It's all of us. And so we are our own worst enemy in this. And so that's what makes it hard.
Sonny Smith used to say, "You ain't cheating if you ain't trying." Or are you? What do you say if you ain't cheating? You ain't trying.
Yeah, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
All right, my man. Hey, listen, I'll be down there on Saturday. Look forward to seeing you and the family. It's going to be beautiful weather. 11 o'clock kickoff. You can also see the game, of course, on ESPNU. But get down to Protective and protect our home field and get after it and welcome back to town. I cannot wait to see some live college football come up this Saturday. It's going to be awesome. Thank you.
It'll be great. Thank you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.